Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Helsinki, that's what we're talking about. The summit last week at Helsinki between President Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, head of Russia. So what happened? And still the feedback, the pushback, the controversy, the crisis that's been created by an unstable, unhinged left-wing media continues even as we go into this week. But how do you describe what happened? That's what we're going to try to do today, this week's show on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. All kind. That's why I had to play a little music from Guns N' Roses, that sweet child of mine. It's like the media has created a monster that did Donald Trump do something wrong? Did he say the wrong words? Did he say something he could have said better differently? Of course he did. Donald Trump made a mistake. But was it treason? Should he be relieved of his commander-in-chief role, like some Democrats are calling for, diminished? I believe Senator Booker of New Jersey, again, a president wannabe, so now he's picking away at this president. Does he not realize when he struggles to weaken the presidency, the very office he wants to hold one day will be weaker too? And that's so much. We've got to dig into how the left, and you've heard me on this show talk about how the left has been unhinged. And they really, really have come unglued now. And there's some insights and points I want to tell you that I hadn't heard anywhere else. I've heard some on some shows, but I got to tell you some things that this whole country's not even thinking about. And so we'll get in those details. What am I talking about? Well, don't you remember Scoop Jackson? If you're older, you remember Democrats that were very, very strong when it comes to national security. But something happened that the left got a hold of the Democratic Party. And from the times of Jimmy Carter forward, it seemed like the military was weakened by a lack of the military budget going down, and parts were rare, the training was cut down. And that's one reason I think Ronald Reagan was elected, and he helped rebuild the military, and then here comes President Bill Clinton, said Cold War's over and cut the military budget, and then George W. Bush says we got to rebuild the military. Then he leaves, and then here comes Barack Obama, and then we reduce the size of the army, manpower-wise, with men and women. We had fewer troops than we did before World War II started, and so again, Donald Trump gets elected and says we got to rebuild the military. But why is it the Democrats always seem to say we got to love Russia, the Cold War's over, and they cut the military budget? And then here comes, like I said, Donald Trump said we got to rebuild the military. And now what's happening with the Democrats and the left-wingers, they are talking about how vicious Vladimir Putin is in Russia. For all these years, some of the conservatives have been saying, we got to watch out for Russia. Now it's the Democrats. So we got a lot to talk about today, a lot to talk about. Before we get into the Helsinki summit with Vladimir Putin and President Donald Trump, let me first tell you about the midterm elections. They seem to be drifting back and forth. And now, this is the one thing now. The Democrats have come up with a new slogan for the midterm election. For the people. Well, you know, it's like a billboard. For the people. But you can put in parentheses something underneath. For the people. Does this include illegal aliens? Does this include those in America who undocumented? You can put for the people, big parentheses, and say, does that mean everybody on earth? Does that mean we're going to give a free income, which they're trying to think about in Chicago and other places where you don't do anything, just get money because you live there? And so is for the people / free college, as Bernie Sanders says, or quote, for the people. Does that include Israelis that, you know, do we support Israel? Does the left support Israel now, or are they pulling the rug out from under them? Which one of their socialist candidates has said, hey, it's being, Israel's occupying Palestinians. So it goes on and on. But with the Democratic Party for the midterm elections to oppose Make America Great Again, and which Donald Trump's already said it's going to be Keep America Great Again when he gets ready to run in 2020. But for the people, is that going to ring a bell? Does that ring the Liberty Bell for the people? Well, we the people rings the Liberty Bell, and we the people elected Donald Trump. And it just seems like some people don't like that election and still to this day are not giving any help to President Trump when he tries to make decisions. So looking at the Senate races, in the latest poll in West Virginia, Manchin, the Democrat, is up 10 points. That's a lot. That's a lot of votes that the Republicans have to pull in to try to get him defeated. He's been a governor before in West Virginia, is well-liked. But the West Virginia people voted for Donald Trump by 20-30%. So what will that translate to in West Virginia? My inclination is it'll be hard for West Virginia to go Republican unless the people there really get out and work and say the only way, it's got to be Donald Trump's agenda will fail without a Republican from West Virginia in the Senate by his side. That is the message that will only thing that will pull West Virginia toward the Republicans. It'll have to be a national type election there in the state of West Virginia. Looking over in other parts, in Missouri, I think Senator Masco, she's ahead, but not by much. It's 2 or 3 points in some of the latest polls. Senator Tester, Democrat in Montana, he's ahead 4 or 5 points. So where does that leave the Republicans? Well, you'd want to say there's no way, that Republicans get a lot of seats, but maybe they can keep the Senate. They just got a one-seat advantage right now. So where does that leave the Republicans in the Senate? Very close to losing. And how much money will be pumped in the Senate races? We'll have to wait and see. But we'll be following that. But you got to remember, Donald Trump was behind in the polls also. But Donald Trump is not on the ballot. He got a lot of people who never had voted before or hadn't voted in years to come out and vote. Can Donald Trump energize these same people by saying, look, my agenda will be dead in the water if you don't get out and vote and get Republicans in here to help me out? So we'll see that message you get across to the Republican base. How about the Democratic base? Well, they're throwing everything they can, and it's almost become the party of hate. And I don't know how that translates, the party of hate, but they hate everything that Donald Trump does and don't want to help him. They want anything he does wrong, they want to multiply it, as in the Helsinki words, that he came out with a summit, and we're going to talk about that more in just a few minutes. But you got to understand that they're throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at Donald Trump, and things aren't sticking. They're not bringing him down. They want to bring him down, and they're not going to give up until they do. So Donald Trump and his team have got to really be on their toes and think like a chess game. In many ways, he's doing that on the economy. He's doing that in ways that, well, let me just talk about the election. Look at the stock market. It's inched back up to 25,000. Will it keep inching up? The economy is good. When you got more jobs than you got people looking for jobs, which is the situation now and hasn't been that way for decades, that is a good economy. Now, how is it translating the media? If Obama was doing this, it would be the most wonderful thing ever, and what a genius Obama is. But now it's almost like, I think Nancy Pelosi said something like, oh, those numbers don't really count. They don't count, just like that $1,000 after the tax cut, some companies gave a $1,000 bonus check, and she said that's just crumbs. Well, $1,000 not crumbed to a lot of folks. But the midterm elections are stacking up right now, and it's undecided in a House and a Senate which way to go. There's money coming into the Republican coffers to defend seats, and right now in most cases it looks like the Republicans have got a little more than the Democrats, but they haven't finished fundraising on the Democratic side, that's for sure. So it remains to be seen. And the reason I'm saying this, it's up to you now to get to work and to get out there and help those who will help Donald Trump and help push this country to more freedom. Now, we're going to get to the Helsinki Summit. But first, let me remind you, you listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. And we're glad to have you. Tell your friends and neighbors. Here we are in election year. It's getting closer to November. So tell them to tune in to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because you'll hear things here you won't quite hear anywhere else. And some insights. And that's what we're about to get to in this Helsinki Summit. And also remind you, yes, you can go to Doc Holliday, www.docholliday.org. That's Holliday of two L's. And we got a book there called Bedrock Truths. I wrote that for Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland. You can get that book, order it, get one for your friends, one for your neighbors, and one for your liberal friends, too. And it talks about the bedrock truths that made America great and what we got to get back to. So please order that book. And before we get in the second half of the show, this is what I feel like the media was saying to Donald Trump right after Helsinki. Well, that was a Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses, and I think Donald Trump just is like he went into the jungle. Some jungle fighting. What Donald Trump said at the press conference, I think he was not on top of his game. I believe he said some things that, and then he backtracked them the next day, and then made some muddled into this. And somebody said it's like when you see some fresh cow manure, you don't just step in it. And if you do, you get it all over your boots and make a mess. And that's sort of what Donald Trump did at the press conference. He put out something that ended up being like some manure, and then he went stomping around in it, and everybody else is stomping in it, and it's a stink storm out there. But this is where I really believe the left, the unhinged left, has really come undone. Instead of supporting a president and saying, this is what you need to do, this is what we'd like to see, they constantly criticize him. And I made that statement, when there is a pile of manure, don't go step in it. But that's what everybody said, well, Mr. President, you got to go out there and correct this. Newt Gingrich, others said you can't just leave it. But everything that Donald Trump did, it never will please the critics. And they just take whatever he says, and then they go back and play what he said and said, it doesn't matter. This is what he said first. They won't give the president any help at all. In fact, whereas if they love America first, they'll say, what can we do to help President C, to help him strengthen and revise what he needs to say? But no, they only want to complain, impeach, and say he's a traitor, so accuse him of treason. A commander-in-chief being accused of treason. Well, did people say that about Barack Obama? Some people did, and they were just boo-hooed by the whole press corps. Anybody that would compare Obama to Hitler, which would happen, and then people were just disintegrated by the press. People come into defense of the respect office of the presidency. But when Donald Trump is, when they say, well, he got instincts like Hitler and the SS, and where's the press? They're the ones that help push that out there. Same thing right now where the president makes a mistake. But do we teach him to learn from it? Do we help him learn from it and help strengthen his position? No. They tear into him because they want to get rid of him because they are thirsting for power. The Democrats are thirsting for power. And this is not the way to help your country. I think the only way they can see to help the country is to get Trump out of the White House. But they could respect the office. Now, where are we going from this? It's Christopher Wray, and this was brought up by Rush Limbaugh on his show. Very important. In Vail, Colorado, where a group of not skiers, but a group of they like to think themselves as deep thinkers, the American thinkers, but they meet at Vail, Colorado, and when he was out there, Christopher Wray mentioned that the Russians meddling in the election had nothing to do with the election infrastructure. No votes were changed. Were no meddling into the vote counting, and it had no impact on the elections. And that was said by even Rosenstein. And when he brought out the indictments a couple of weeks ago, but the thing you got to understand is, the Democrats and the far left that are so unhinged, anything to do with elections, collusion, and Russia, they throw everything out so that they want it to mix together so there won't be fact and fiction. There will be fact and fiction mixed together. And as long as the American people are confused and they can use that as leverage, the confusion of Americans who can't quite understand and get a grasp, and so many Americans don't want to get a grasp on this, that they will use that to push people to their position against the president. So these are things that are dangerous. It's not helping America. And you can have political differences. With the left, they have political differences with me. But going back when Barack Obama was president, as many times you heard from this microphone that I didn't like Barack Obama, what he's doing, you have to respect the presidency. I did. I do now. I'm asking the far left and the Democrats to respect the office of the presidency. When you have a senator, Senator Cory Booker, calling what the president did as a traitor and treasonous, that is going too far. To call the commander-in-chief, accuse him of treason. And then here we are with Cory Booker. He wants to run for president in a couple of years. He may do it. But, you know, he's diminishing the office of the presidency. Now, he attacked Donald Trump, but don't attack him as commander-in-chief. Don't call him a traitor. And, you know, it just makes everything Cory Booker wants to say is this guy's not got it all together. And, he's not the only one saying these things. It's coming from all over the left. The left field is full of the cuckoo birds going cuckoo. And that's what we're seeing right now. So what needs to be done? Let's talk about that. President Trump is unlike any president that we've had. We all understand that. When I voted for him, when many of you voted for him, we voted to shake things up. So he's not going to get everything right. He's not going to be perfect. And I wish he would handle the press conference differently. The one thing that the left will not get a sit down and get a grip on, the whole summit, and it's very important. They had Democrats saying, oh, don't go to the summit. I think they fear that something good may come out of it. And when Trump made a mistake with words, they pounced on that, and they're loving it. But the thing is, what did happen behind closed doors? What did Trump talk to Putin about in Syria, having to do with Syria, having to do with North Korea and denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula? What did Trump and Putin talk about Iran and Israel? And if the war going on in Syria, very important that President Trump had to sit down meeting with Vladimir Putin, because these are the two leaders that are in conflict in the world in the way we see things and they see things. And how do we know that, again, President Trump is trying to lean on Putin in some of these areas, I bet, on North Korea and Iran, and he was not going to go face to face. And they made Rush Limbaugh made this point. When is the last time that an American president with the leader of another country just got in that leader's face at a summit? It doesn't happen. It hasn't happened. That's not a place to do it, out in public to embarrass people. But it's like the left wanted President Trump to shake his finger right in front of Putin and say, you are a dirty dog and you're wrong. If he did, they would have accused him of trying to start a nuclear war. They know they're going to go against Trump either way, whatever they do. Even if they do what the press tells them to, they wouldn't like what President Trump did. They're out to get President Trump. Now, to show just how people are out to get Donald Trump, we've seen national media, we go to different broadcasts, but look at just a local station in Greater Boston, and they put together a panel of three women. I wish we could listen to the whole program, but you got some of these far-out liberals, the extreme, that believe everything they have to say. I want to play through this. It's a little bit long, but let's play through the piece setting up about Donald Trump, and then this is from a show called Greater Boston, and it's on YouTube. You can see it there, this piece, but if you want to listen to it all, but they ask one of the ladies, and the way she speaks is just, I believe, those who are under the influence of Trump derangement syndrome. Take a listen to this, and then we'll carry on with the show.
Today, Trump attempted to shift the conversation away from foreign policy to domestic issues, signing a new executive order on jobs. But after a week of wild press conferences, walkbacks, and word jumbles, his apparent bromance with Russian President Vladimir Putin is still dominating headlines. Last night, in an interview with CBS's potted plant, Jeff Glor, Trump attempted to clean up the mess. More than 4,000 miles away and 36 hours after the fact, mind you, by finally laying the blame on Vladimir Putin.
You haven't condemned Putin specifically. Do you hold him personally responsible?
Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country, just like I consider myself to be responsible for things that happen in this country. So certainly, as the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
A new poll out from CBS found a stunning 68% of Republicans approve of how Trump handled his press conference with Putin. And among Democrats, a whopping but not surprising 83% disapprove. If you ask one senator, that level of dissatisfaction can be summed up like this.
This is truly the Trump derangement syndrome that motivates all of this.
So Trump declared his candidacy, and the country suddenly parted like a biblical sea. Pink pussy hats on one side, MAGA caps on the other, and never the twain has met. Alan Dershowitz certainly discovered that when he visited his old summer stomping grounds to find his vineyard neighbors shunning him for coming to the president's defense as relates to the Mueller probe. Then last night during a town hall with his estranged island mates, Dershowitz came to a realization telling the crowd, quote, maybe I didn't realize enough how emotionally people are invested in opposing Trump. and maybe in supporting him, too. Joining me are Jen Dederich, a local writer currently working on an illustrated history of women's citizenship. Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Local activist and novelist Holly LaCroix, who founded a Newton chapter of Indivisible. It's a Trump resistance movement. It's good to see you, too. And Jennifer Nasur, former chair of the Mass Republican Party and founder of Conservative Women for a Better Future. Jennifer, it's good to see you. So, as I say, aside from policy, Jen, and its impacts, Dershowitz, a little late coming to the game, I think. He's clearly on to something, right? I mean,
well, the people are a little emotionally. Well, what's crazy to me is this idea that as if it's just policy. Like, we were talking backstage about having relatives who are Republicans, and my dad was a Republican. We used to debate politics. It kind of drove me crazy sometimes. It was fine. I love my dad. I have relatives to do. But this is, I mean, this is a guy who launched his campaign saying that most Mexican immigrants for rapists, you know, and are just appointing people who are going to roll back abortion rights. I mean, this is about, it's not just, you know, theoretical policy positions. It's real, it's racism, it's real meanness, it's bullying. And then, of course, he's apparently controlled by the Russians or something.
Now, do you see how convicted this last speaker was? How, and he's just ultimately controlled by Putin, too, of Russia. So, but they hear it over and over on all these news stations where the extreme left really believes. I think they believe that Donald Trump is a traitor. There's a hatred toward the president of the United States in such a vicious fashion that the likes of America has never seen. They can't even let him make a mistake and say, let me walk this back and tell you how it needs to be. No, they will not let him walk anything back. And this vicious hate, where's it going to stop? But I believe Trump, well, I do believe he knows how to handle the media. Now, therefore, knowing that, I think Trump, he doesn't mind making the press mad. And I think he goes too hard against the press. In many cases, they deserve it. But you can't just put a coating, you know, over the whole press, the entire press corps. And Trump needs to do a better job of saying what he means and pointing out we're in the wrong. Just say, hey, this is a false story. Here's what they said. This is what happened, and it's false. But those are the things that the most Americans have not heard about, and we don't know what he said, but he had to talk about Iran and North Korea and Syria in these talks with Putin, and you know, Barack Obama just stayed away and said, oh, we can't talk with a tyrant. And many times, sometimes you have to talk with the bad guys. That doesn't mean you support what they do. That doesn't mean you love them. That doesn't mean you're going to give them advantages. But you got to know that you can sit down and talk with somebody who has enough nuclear weapons to blow up the planet and blow us up too. So these are the reasons why I believe the Helsinki summit is not a turning point, but I believe it's going to end up being a strength for Donald Trump, because people are going to see that what he said made more sense down the road. Not the part about when he's talking about the collusion in elections and Russian interference. I'm talking about what Trump and Putin talked about, North Korea and Iran and the war that's going on in Syria. We'll see. And it might be 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road if we really know the success of the summit. And Donald Trump, what to me, at the end of last week, we said, he's looking forward to a second summit with Putin. And everybody would think, oh, well, I can't believe he's going to do a second summit. Well, President Trump works hard. And he's working hard for the American people. When you talk about tariffs and everything else, yes, there's a lot of people upset. But the American worker knows who's got their back. And I think the American patriots know who's got their back. And I think Donald Trump, when he's going to do some things to get him back in line with where he needs to be, where he made mistakes on what he said. And left is never going to give him a chance. But the American people will. I believe they will. And I believe they'll end up what happened over there in Helsinki will end up being a good thing one day. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I believe we're going to look back and go, you know, that really was good for America, the lesson we had to go through, the challenges, and people are going to support the president who stands strong for America He does it by showing his appreciation for the American worker and what he's doing with the tariffs. I hope the tariffs go away because countries say they need to work with us. But Donald Trump is standing strong, stronger than any politician ever has when it comes to the American worker. They know it. They appreciate it. They're going to have his back. And that's Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Next week, it's going to keep digging in. I told you at the end of last week, didn't know what was going to happen. Wow, nobody would have ever guessed what happened at the Helsinki summit between Putin and Trump. And so I can't tell you what next week's going to be, but we're going to keep monitoring everything and bring you stories that you won't hear the way our commentary is. You won't hear about it anywhere else. So I hope we gave you some insights this week. Tell your friends and neighbors. We'll be back next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.